You are listening to The Talking Show on K-Chung Radio, Chinatown's only.
Only
micro-broadcasting radio station persisting during the 2020 COVID-19 pandemic.
Shit.
Yeah. And there's another dimension to the pandemic that's developed since our last episode.
Yeah, man. How are we even, like, still doing this? This is crazy. You know?
Yeah. My goodness. The talking show is speechless for the first time ever.
I mean, that's funny. But yeah, it's just crazy. It's crazy that, like, you know, I mean, I guess in the sense where there is, like, a global pandemic and multiple layers of government simply act like it would be better if you, the public, just died. That then, like, just tossing wanton police brutality on top of that. With all the racialized dimensions that that typically has, because, I mean, like, the police were invented to do racist violence in the first place, like, it shouldn't be at all surprising, you know, like, the LA, the people like Streets Watch LA and K-Town for All have had the graphics on their website about what the LA City Council budget was going to be like for this year, what the proposed budget was like for this year, for a while now. You know, it's not a secret that they were going to fund the police to, like, the tune of, what, $3 billion or something like that.
And but they were going to give, like, $80 to the parks change. Or something, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Everything else gets like, tiny, tiny change, and 53% of the budget was going to be the cops. And that has been known. I mean, who knows what time is, but I feel like I've known about that for 1 month, I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's, like, an instructive reason as to, like, for, you know, like, there's been this clarifying moment where, like, it's been made clear to, like, more people than just the people who care about that kind of city hall activism type stuff, that this was a bad idea. Right? And, like, and now people are angry that LA invests so much in policing because it is racist, and it comes at the expense of literally every other good thing the city could do for you.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you must feel really proud and glad to be a citizen of Pasadena at this moment. You guys are coasting right by. You're like, not Pasadena. Pasadena is mostly funding, you know, public schools and education with their budget, right? What's the Pasadena City College budget or is it municipal budget like?
I should look into it. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we live in a historically black neighborhood in Pasadena. Mm-hmm. Like, Jackie Robinson's from right around here. Octavia Butler.
Right.
Yeah. I haven't seen too many protests. There was news of a pre-protest in Pasadena. I'm not sure what that means.
It's like a tailgate party.
Yeah, I have no idea. But I should look into the... I got a bailout check from the city of Pasadena for the pandemic. That was pretty cool.
Really?
Yeah.
What is the city of Pasadena? So on top of the $1,200 that the Trump administration sent you.
I haven't seen that yet, but supposedly that's coming.
But what did the city of Pasadena give you? I'm curious.
I got $3.87 in the form of a check.
Are you kidding?
No, no. And it was with, like, a form letter about how they were, you know, sending people their taxes back or something like that. So it's probably just because I've only been here since December that it was that amount.
I was going to say it's because you're relatively recent.
But it was a pretty funny check to receive.
I mean, God, why bother?
Yeah. It reminded me of my friend and former roommate, Anthony DeSimone, was in the Virgin Suicides. And every year he gets royalty checks for, you know, his points he has on that film, like from like, you know, the Canadian Broadcasting Company, like aired it, you know, on June 8th or something like that. And they're always, the checks are for like, you know, 97 cents, you know, $2, this kind of thing.
This is similar to my life as well. This is, I also get royalty checks.
For what?
For having been in bands.
Yeah, sure.
And none of them are particularly powerful or popular bands, but they, some of them were big enough, a big enough deal that at a certain point, the record gets played again. You know, like at least once or twice, somewhere in the world, someone plays this thing. And then I get my, like, check for that. And it is a pretty... Well, the rights management group, you know, like the ASCAP equivalent in Canada, which is called SOCAN, they refuse to send out checks for amounts less than $100.
Oh, okay.
Which makes sense. I mean, I imagine it costs them money to send out checks.
And just to have, you know, the, I mean, it would, like, the volume would increase. They have to hire more people to send out the checks.
It'd be more work to just send out thousands more checks. Because I imagine the number of people who are getting under $100 every year.
It'd be enormous.
And the number of people getting more than $100 a year is much smaller.
Right. Well, I bet when you get one of those checks, you're probably like, well, we're going to the bar, honey.
You know, I mean... In, remember, these are Canadian dollars, so like $14 Canadian, or like in some cases much less. You know, I've gotten the $3 check before.
Nice.
I've gotten the, you know, or the direct deposit. You know, so it's like the kind of thing where.
Oh, I see. So they don't. They it's not that they refuse to distribute funds less than $100. They just don't mail a physical check.
Exactly. You just get direct deposit.
I see.
So my like 100, my the best I've done lately is $14.
Ooh.
And the funny part is I don't even check to see what it was. My presumption is that one of the bands I was in that I was not in any way like creatively involved, well, arguably, but like it was far more someone else's project, but I have a feeling one of the songs I was very tangentially involved in was used in a movie.
Mm.
And I don't think the movie was a very big deal, but I think such as the movie existed, that year I got $14 or something, Canadian.
I see.
About $11 American, or maybe more closer to 10. Yeah, 10. It's like 30-ish percent. So, yeah, 11 something dollars American, which is like exactly with tip, you know, one drink in Silver Lake.
If that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
you
drink,
could do some damage, you know, at the Palms.
Yeah, I could get out. I could do an entire night at the Palms on $11. You know, like, cause it really just depends on how well they're keeping track.
Yeah, or if, yeah, exactly. It's just a, it's
like at the end of the night, you're like, you gave me 6 drinks, and the guy's like, $11. Yeah. And you're like, oh, here you go, pal.
My parents have been forwarding me the text messages they received from the Palms about how, you know, COVID-19. The Palms is monitoring the situation. And, well, let's see. Why don't you talk for a second while I find this? They're pretty good.
All right. Okay. It's funny. Now there's a whole new other realm of emails to receive from businesses about how not so much that they are monitoring the COVID-19 situation, but that they also do in fact care about the movement for Black Lives.
Yeah. Conveniently, everyone they do now.
Anxious today to tell you that this is the case. Possibly you could not have read it in their actions before, but now they are sending you an email putting you on formal notice that they do in fact care about Black Lives.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, before this COVID-19 pandemic, businesses didn't really do that. You know, maybe they'd say like it's Martin Luther King Day, half off books about race at Verso or something like that.
Yeah, right, right.
But it usually had to do with sales, because that's oftentimes, yeah, since the internet's a mall, that's what they're doing. They're shilling stuff, mm-hmm, and it made sense that they had to respond to this unprecedented quarantine, but it does not. It shouldn't be maintained that they need to respond to all political dilemmas. Like,
yeah,
what the next big thing, like, say, I don't know, the next big thing that happens, like, are we going to get an email from David Kordansky in a few months about his stance on global warming? Like, he stands in solidarity against global warming or something.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tiger Drylac powder coatings stance on unemployment. You know, like, what? I don't care what you think, Drylac.
Yeah, right. And I mean, what are you going to do about it? I mean, like, you're right, because the thing is that, like, when they're telling you about their COVID-19 thing, that does have to do with, like, how will you access our services?
Like, exactly, yeah.
Do you need to go to Foam Mart? Okay, well, if you need to go to Foam Mart, it's different now. You know,
right.
Like, you have to call in advance if, right, you want to get anything from Foam Mart. Whereas, like, it doesn't impact you one bit if, you know, whatever. Like,
they were selling foam just fine when police were, you know, brutalizing black people all across the U.S. for, you know, years and years now.
and it's not a comment on them against anyone else that they were able to do business under racial apartheid.
No.
We're not trying to single Foam Mart out here. To be clear, Foam Mart in Burbank, I love you.
There is something, it somehow relates to, I don't know what you want to call it, but maybe call out culture, you know, that's risen up through social media,
yeah,
and the Me Too movement and several things over the last years where, for example, somebody who is good at cooking says something politically incorrect and therefore we no longer trust their ability to cook.
Well, it's more like we don't want to support racists or something.
Yeah, but somehow, I mean, and I'm not criticizing that dimension of it, but somehow one's, and maybe the separation of one's work and their political views was the wrong thing to begin with, that we are more used,
right,
to, you know, is that, oh no, they do this for a living and then they have these views and they don't need to be commiserate in any way or, but that was that's the world that I feel like we grew up in. And now those things are coming together. But
yeah,
here's the news from Wonder Valley.
Okay. Okay.
The Palms Wonder Valley live events, May 26th at 1:07 PM. I don't know why the text starts that way. To all who are wondering when we will be opening, there is a good chance that the restaurant and bar will be closed until the end of the summer. I like that as a a chunk of time for them, the end,
yeah,
of the summer. Since we're still uncertain about the safety of all inside, capitalized, a restaurant, we've decided to instead use this time to do a little remodeling / painting / et cetera. My goodness.
Oh my God, I can't believe it.
Don't worry. You'll still recognize it as The Palms, but it might be a little more sparkly. In the meantime, we are opening the outdoor stage on Saturday evenings for outside-only events with no shared microphones.
That's important.
Yeah, and 6-foot distancing standards in place with spacing of tables, etc. Beer, soda, and hot dogs will be available at a low cost. I wonder what low cost means to them. Like, what did they think? What were their prices in peace times? A nickel for a hot dog.
Oh my God, it must be a nickel for a hot dog. It's crazy.
While there is no set schedule at this time, we will announce events as they come to us, which I think was, that's how anyone operates, right?
Well, I think maybe it's more like a thing of inspiration.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you have something you'd like to do/perform on any Saturday, send us a message through email. We will be kicking off the Summer Outdoor 6 Feet Apart season with this.
Summer Outdoor 6 Feet Apart season.
Yeah. And unfortunately, that's where the text message that I received ends. So what falls after this, I could not say.
I think they're still trying to figure it out.
It's coming to them. They're in the midst of...
That's delightful. I hope the renovations aren't garish. I hope they look good.
What if it's just like incredibly Tony when you return?
Like, it's just beautiful.
Yeah, there's like, you know, like ice brick walls and...
Spago.
Yeah. There's in the opening sequence of American Gigolo, a great American film, he's driving down the one in a convertible and ends up at like a fancy store on Rodeo Drive, and there's like a panning shot of the facade, and the store is spelled J-U-S-C-H-I. Juicy. I always think of that when I think of like over the top luxury. Juicy.
Yeah.
It's not really a word, it's more of a sound.
And the sound itself is more of a feeling.
We've renamed the Palms to Juicy.
That would be such a good move for one day. Oh, you should do it. That should be your idea, you know, is like you just like change the sign for one day.
Oh yeah. Or do one of those deals where like you show up, like I show up in a suit with a briefcase, like a, you know, some kind of like dead animal briefcase, and like pitch this whole idea to the owners. And of course they say no, but then kind of like the turnstiles at the LA Metro somehow like sue them into doing it. Isn't that what happened with the LA Metro?
No, the LA Metro was a classic kickback. It's that like, just back to being annoyed or beyond annoyed, but just like outraged at like how horrible our public figures are. Like the regular run of the mill corruption in Los Angeles, you know, like how the city council was basically bought by the police union, mm-hmm. first of all. And secondly, how, if everyone on city council is basically in real estate, that then of course the only public service they're willing to fund
is real estate.
Right. Cause they are getting their own healthcare. They have parallel private networks for healthcare and education for their children. They have, the only thing that they cannot fully just pay for themselves and shunt everyone else into like a hellscape is like the police protecting property. And so like now, you know, so to this end, like that's why it makes perfect sense why they would only fund the police and nothing else. Right. Because they have no other interests in the public good, in the benefit of more than citizens who own multiple pieces of property. So, the graft about the turnstiles was just that like the person on the transit committee was just married to a guy who worked for a turnstile company.
I thought there was some situation where they sued them in order to install, like it was like they just
I guess you're right. There was like, it's graft, you can't do that. And they're like, we have a contract.
Yeah.
We're suing the city.
Right.
And then it had to happen. Yeah, that's exactly it. So in the end, that is the mechanism that brought it about. But the only reason why they were in a position to sue the city to install the turnstiles mm-hmm. was because, which is, it's amazing because it literally, you know, like things don't move very quickly in public transportation. And I'm sure many of our listeners don't take public transportation. I'm sure many of our listeners do take public transportation. I'm sure that our listeners don't really exist as a body So I can say whatever I want about them, but I can't get around the fact that, like, you know, even the like more recent additions to public transit in Los Angeles are not built with turnstiles in mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when you go to a place that has a fully privatized, completely like, no, you cannot get on the thing without paying and putting your ticket in here or doing this thing and going to the turnstile. Like, you know, like in New York, there's a cage around the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, and you can jump over the thing, but that's kind of it, you know, or you can, or someone can prop open the door, but like, there's no, you know, like the cage is the sign that this is not allowed. Whereas like in Los Angeles, all the subways are like big, wide open public concourses that allow you to, or like just the sidewalk, you know, and you walk up the ramp off the sidewalk and get on the train. Like, there's no reason why you should interact with the turnstile.
Yeah, sometimes I forget, you know, and it's not that I don't, not that I didn't want to pay or didn't want to, like, there's the one, the Del Mar in downtown Pasadena,
because mm-hmm. sometimes
when I used to take the metro into Chinatown, I'd get off there and get a coffee, and, you know, I guess if you're going the same direction, I don't need to explain public transit to you, but to our body of listeners, you know, if you're going the same direction within a few hours, it's, or an hour or so, it's the, you don't have to pay again, but you have to tap again. And I often like running with the coffee to get the train and forget to tap again.
And you feel like it's a victimless crime.
I don't know if anyone gets hurt. I hope that, you know, the small animals that run the turnstiles.
But, yeah, I don't know. What else is going to happen this year? Like, Joe Biden just recommended people just get shot in the legs instead of the head.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, you didn't hear? So we talked about Biden's last batch of gaffes in the last episode, but as part of his empathic response, you know, to contrast against like Trump walking from the White House to a church that is closed to hold the Bible awkwardly and then walk back and having like peaceful protesters tear gassed to get them out of the way so that he could accomplish this feat. In contrast to that, as the candidate that we on the left of the political spectrum are being encouraged to vote for, Joe Biden suggested that cops be trained not to shoot for the heart or head, but to aim for the legs.
Well, I think that there's only one word for that, Steve. Wow.
Wow. Yeah, if there's an election in November, it's going to be wild.
Yeah, shoot for the legs. I mean... Yeah.
That's what we've got here.
It's also
so moronic.
If you
don't like just tear gassing people, you can vote for shoot for the legs. Yeah, sorry.
It's also just so moronic because, you know, if there was ever a good reason to teach a cop how to shoot someone, it's to stop them. You know, like they're gonna get someone else or they're gonna cause real harm. So then in that case, shooting for the legs maybe isn't the best idea.
What do you mean? What? I mean, I don't think they're not gonna get them if their legs aren't working.
Well, it's like, okay, so say in the example of hunting.
Yes.
Like it's not, I mean, I don't hunt. I don't endorse hunting, but you don't want to hunt for the legs.
Well, here's the thing. And I think this should be really clear. These are the police, they are not hunters.
Yeah. No. Well, I mean, I'm saying is that
like
if they
the job is manifestly different.
If they should, they have been confused of late, the two roles.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's, I mean, they should
in
just.
In fact, that is the main problem at the moment in terms of the societal outcry.
Right. I mean, they should disarm the police. Period.
Yeah. Sure.
But if I imagine there's any reason for a police person to have a gun, it's not to shoot people in the legs. But I can't think of a good reason why a cop should have a gun.
I feel like if a cop has to have a gun, that shooting people in the legs would probably do the trick most of the time.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't think lethal force is necessarily, you know, and would I mean, obviously, I suppose lethal force stops whoever it is you're trying to stop from doing anything. But I have a feeling that if you, like, very seriously injured someone, they would also not be interested in continuing with what it was that they were doing. You know, and if it involved them having locomotive capacity, that would be easily removed. And it's ridiculous that I'm even defending this position, because this is Joe Biden's position and it is manifestly ridiculous. But yeah, no.
What is the image we're always given is, like, you know, the person with the ski mask at the bank who has, like, the women and children with guns to their heads or something like that. This is the supposed scenario in which cops need guns or something.
Yeah, and you know, in, like, in Ireland, I don't know if it's Republic of Ireland or Northern Ireland, but an admittedly extremely violent place that has had piles of weapons smuggled into it over the years. The cops keep a gun in the trunk of the car. You know, because unlike in America, in Northern Ireland, or Republic of Ireland for that matter, there has been a higher than not likelihood of, like, immense violent confrontation.
Right.
when you enter a situation, and or actual terrorism also, you know,
right.
Things of this nature have occurred within, like, very fresh living memory in Ireland. I wish I knew which of the Irelands I'm talking about here, but there can be this claim that the police require this thing, but when you see a police officer on the street, they're not, like, dressed like RoboCop.
No.
And they are in, like, an actual civil war, you know? Like, they're in, like, a place that, well, not anymore, but that for a significant amount of recent history has been actually embroiled in, I think, fairly clearly a civil war. So, I don't know, man. who needs to stop what? I mean, and also, like, in situations like the Las Vegas shooting, for example, like, if they are in a high, distant place with an automatic weapon, what are you going to do? Launch a bazooka at them? Like, there's literally nothing you can do.
Well, in those extremes in which perhaps someone needs a gun to deal with the situation, it's never like your average Joe cop with a pistol. Sorting out, as far as I can tell, not something I look at carefully. Which, you know, in the cases of, like, extreme racial violence in the police, oftentimes it is. You're seeing the average Joe cop with a 9mm doing something incredibly stupid.
Until you get to something like this, where it's just like the cops get to wheel in the tanks they just bought.
Yeah.
And do all kinds of insane stuff. But anyway, I mean, the funny part is that I'm sure, like Pasadena, suburban Austin is placid.
Yeah, they didn't. I heard that the National Guard were showing up in Texas. Did they not show up in Austin?
I mean, they might be, but in some part of Austin that I have not seen. Because there still is the coronavirus thing, I mostly stay home. And I did go up to Round Rock to have my clarinet serviced as part of everyday business. And there was a lot of traffic, actually, but there was not. And I drove by where the protests had been happening, where that guy had been shot in the head with a beanbag. And there was no sign of anything happening. I remain very reluctant to protest because I am only a legal permanent resident. And I feel like I will get deported. Although, like, honestly, what are my options if I did enjoy full rights in this country? But, you know, because obviously you would just be putting yourself at, you know, at the mercy of police brutality, I suppose. But, you know, someone's got to do it, which I think is something I'm grateful for all the people who do it. But, God, anyway. So I just feel like kind of a turd, really. I don't understand what the local situation is at all. I understand that there must be things in Austin, you know, like there must have been news. There have historically been events that people in Austin still feel angry about, you know, like it's impossible to imagine that somehow Austin is not like other places.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, because there have been there's been pretty intense protests in Dallas. I know, I've seen that.
Yes. And there has been a lot of protests in Houston.
Yeah.
Because George Floyd was from Houston. And
I didn't know that. Yeah.
And Houston's like a genuinely very diverse and interesting place.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, man. But Austin is a very, you know, it's like the Elizabeth Warren of liberal, you know, if some cities are more, I don't know where this allegory is going, but it's definitely like the vibe here is definitely like Warren supporter, you know, affluent, white, a little guilty, but doing well enough that there's generally not a whole lot wrong. You know, like the number of people doing badly to the number of people doing kind of well in Austin, I think is very, very, it's not as unbalanced as in a place like Houston, for example, would be. So I think the level of just raw white comfort here is so high.
Right.
But there has been, you know, like Latino and black people have endured a lot. From the police here. But I'm just so unaware, and I'm so unaware of what local issues are. So I feel like a dumbass for those reasons. I have nothing to report on the political situation at Austin City Hall. And, you know, and then I also live out in the burbs. So I also there's no chance that anyone will be coming by the house, you know, like you heard about those protesters in D.C. who were being kettled and ran into a residential area and the homeowners let them into their houses and then the cops staked out the houses.
Jeez.
All night. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I mean, the violence in which the state has responded to what seemed like primarily peaceful protests is so repugnant. I mean, there's looting, which is still debatable as to whether or not that is immoral. Obviously it's illegal, but it's being treated with far greater severity than a world threatening pandemic virus.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like, you know, there's a virus that might kill the entire population, and everyone gets $1,200 and is asked to stay home, and then someone steals some Nikes and the National Guard comes in.
And the city is on
we're on curfew, and then these curfew, we've been getting these like Amber Alert style curfew messages that, you know, tell you per area what your curfew is, and it's also being so poorly written and run. I mean, oftentimes it'll come back twice and say, oh, sorry, that was for Glendale or something, then change the time. But then the messages also say that those who are exempt from the curfew are, you know, people who are working, et cetera, et cetera. And then homeless people. You're like, are you really, you're telling us that homeless people aren't required to go home, to stay home for the curfew?
And not like they weren't just harassing the homeless people anyway.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That sounds like a nightmare.
It's so stupid. But then at the same time, I'm not testing the curfew, but supposedly the curfew's in place because all the police are occupied. What happens if you drive around at 9 o'clock? I have no idea.
You know, what's funny is for some reason I get these alerts from Culver City.
Oh, it's not like a...
It's a municipality I've never lived in.
But
I've never even lived particularly close to Culver City, you know? Like, I live on the east side of Koreatown.
But how do they know who to send the messages to? I don't understand. I thought it was geographical.
Yeah, you would have assumed that it was like the location services, like whichever cell tower you're closest to or something.
Right.
Yeah, I would hope that was the case. I have no idea. I think it's maybe just because my phone is registered to somewhere in Los Angeles.
Oh, perhaps they do that and the location. Because other than location services, there's no way they'd know I ever lived in LA. I got my cell phone when I was in Dallas. I was 15 or something.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so I don't get anything from Austin. Whatever cell tower I'm nearest. I get tons of Amber Alerts. Since coronavirus, since lockdown started, I get jillions of, down to San Antonio. Yeah, I get like sort of Central Texas, Buda, Round Rock, you know, all these adjacent communities. I get all these Amber Alerts, and I get so many Amber Alerts. I feel like you would get like maybe 2 Amber Alerts a week in Los Angeles.
I don't see them that often. I don't imagine that they represent the amount of... child abductions that occur in LA County, but
just the ones that like can be tied directly to like an automobile.
Oh, true. Yeah. That's right.
Where it's like, look out for the gray Camry, you know?
Right. Right.
But yeah, I get like sometimes like multiple Amber Alerts a day
in Austin. Wow.
And they're different things. You know, it's like, cause sometimes you would get like a couple, but they would be in updates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'd be like, look out for a Dodge Ram. And then they're like, don't look out for a Dodge Ram. And you're like, okay, you figured it out, or situation has been resolved. All right, I'll stop, you know, eyeing all like beige Kias with suspicion. But now, yeah, I don't know what that's about. But so like, I get the Amber Alerts. I don't get any, well, there's no, I guess I didn't get any COVID-19 stuff, and I didn't get any curfew stuff because Austin's not under a curfew.
I used to get a lot of those kind of alerts at UC Irvine and still do get them.
From Irvine.
Yeah. And to my memory, most of them, you know, the first message was really threatening and frightening, you know, like gunshots heard near the cafeteria.
Uh-huh.
And then always like within 15 or 20 minutes, you get a very humorous, resolution message, like situation has been, taken care of. It was the cheerleading team or something. Like they would give you what, you know, I think they felt obliged to tell you what the mistake was.
It was a ghost.
Yeah. Basically it's always like,
it was the phantom.
Yeah.
Suspicious phantom,
suspicious man in a hoodie, walking around campus. Resolve, turns out he just dresses that way or something. Wow. You know, there's always some goofy thing.
Wow.
But that with alarmist sculpture tech guy, he was great because he'd always be like, everyone on the floor, you know.
Oh wow. I get those emails still from ACC, the City College here.
Mm-hmm.
Those have been relatively quiet because obviously no one's been on campus.
Right.
But like about once a week, there'd be like a weirdo with gun.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would just be resolved because like,
you can carry guns.
Yeah. And they just talked to him about it, you know, and they were like, oh, it's fine. He's not about to kill everyone. He's just carrying his gun around.
Right.
Not mad. Just like, on his way from point A to point B, wearing his gun.
It's a fashion thing.
Yeah, but like, and it wasn't humorous. It was just like very like plain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I I really wish that there was a little more zazz to those ACC notifications now that I know how good you could have it at a place like Irvine. Although I guess, you know, Irvine, that's why you pay the big bucks to live in Irvine, you know.
That's true, yeah, for those messages.
It's a fancy community. Dang. Well, all right, Nicholas.
That's that.
Is this it for another day?
Yep. I think that's it. The talking show began speechless but found a way through.
We are just putting up the large black square over top of our episode right now. Just pinning that up there.
Yep.
Oh, my God. People, what a world.
Right. Well, good morning, Chinatown.
Good morning, Chinatown.